Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Can you think of something that has great worth to you? It might be something with a lot of intrinsic value, but it might be something that instead just has worth because of how you received it, or maybe your experiences with it. Something that has great worth to my wife is this clock. It's made of probably $3 worth of plastic. It doesn't have a lot of intrinsic value, but it holds great value to her. This was actually given to her by one of my kids at Christmas when my son was 8 or 9 years old. And when she looks at this clock, she remembers his face. He was excited to give it to her, just that innocence of being able to give a gift. And she has those fond memories attached to this. And it's really representative of a lot of different gifts that we've received from our kids and grandkids over the years. But one of the things that makes this unique is every hour, on the hour, it plays Christmas music. And every time my wife hears that music, it just reminds her of those warm feelings. We were actually laughing the other day. One of the kids said, "Man, Mom, what would you ever do if that fell off the wall and broke?" She said, "Well, I would replace it." And they said, "Well, what if it cost a lot of money to replace?" She said, "I would pay it." And one of the kids said, "Would you pay $1,000 to repair or replace it?" She said, "Absolutely." It holds a lot of worth for her. What holds worth for you? We're starting a 2-week series called Worth, but we're really looking at worship. Worship has been poorly used by people, that term, and so I want to make sure that we define it. That word worship in the English language actually comes from two different words: worth, having great value, and ship, the state of being. And so it's really talking about the state of being worth something. And when we use it as a verb, it actually is used as we ascribe worth to something. And when we think of God and how amazing He is and how awesome is, we ascribe worth through our worship. That's the English language definition of that word. We also see terms for worship in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, and there's a variety of different terms used. But in the Old Testament, it was written in the Hebrew language, and in Hebrew, the primary word for worship is shekah. It actually means to bow down. The primary word in the Greek, the language that the New Testament was written in, is proskuneo, and it means to kiss, but really it's talking about kissing somebody's hand because they're superior to you, or bowing down, prostrating yourself on the ground and kissing the ground in front of them. Both of these terms, shekah and proskuneo, talk about the attitude with which we come before God with worship, the attitude of humility and submission. Humility, recognizing that God is God, we are not, God is so far superior to us, and then submitting our lives to God, following what He wants us to do, obeying Him, because He is worthy of our worship. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22, we see a great example of worship, this idea of humility and sacrifice before God. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was the patriarch, the founding father of the nation of Israel. And God had promised Abraham when he was 75 years old that Abraham would have descendants that were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Basically, so many descendants that Abraham wouldn't be able to count them all. The problem was Abraham didn't have any kids. Abraham had to wait 25 years before the son of that promise appeared, his son Isaac. And you've got to know that Abraham, waiting that long, loved Isaac so much. Well, years later, God would ask something of Abraham that was hard to believe. God said, "Abraham, I want you to take your son, the son that you love, and I want you to sacrifice him to me." Abraham had to be wondering what God was asking. He knew God was not a God that wanted human sacrifice, but here's what Abraham did. He immediately obeyed. The very next morning, he grabbed his son Isaac, some servants, the wood, the fire, and the knife needed for the sacrifice, and he traveled 3 days to the location that God said, this is where you're going to sacrifice your son. And then Abraham says something. He says, stay here with the donkey, he said to his servants. The boy and I will travel a little bit further, and then we will worship there. And then we will come right back. That word worship there is that word shakah that we talked about before, that word of bowing before God, humility and submission. On the way up the mountain, Isaac actually says to Abraham, hey, Dad, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, we've got the knife. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? And Abraham responds to his son, don't worry, God will provide. As they get up to the top of the mountain, they build an altar, they lay the wood out, Abraham ties up his son Isaac, puts him on the altar, gets the knife, and is ready to sacrifice his son. And God says, Abraham, stop. I wanted to see if this thing that I've given you, this son that you love so much, if it had taken first place in your life. But now I know that obeying my commands, my relationship with you, even supersedes your relationship with your son. And because of that, I'm going to bless you. That's amazing in regards to the humility and submission that Abraham had to have before God. This week, we're focusing on individual worship, worship that I can do by myself. Next week, we're going to be talking about congregational worship or corporate worship. And I love congregational worship. When I come together with hundreds of people and worship together, I experience things that I typically don't any other time in my life. It's very important. But I want you to know this, even congregational worship starts with individual worship. I can be with hundreds of people, and if my heart isn't in the right place, and if I'm not worshiping individually, all the people around me can be worshiping. That doesn't mean that I'm worshiping. Both are so important, congregational worship and individual worship. But what I want to tell you is this, when I come to God in worship in either of those settings, what's important is making sure that my heart is right. I always want to start with prayer. I always want to spend some time to go, God, I need to prepare my heart for worship. The first thing that I want to do when I come is I want to recognize who God is. I want to ascribe glory and honor to him to go, God, you are God. I'm not. You have such amazing qualities. We just came out of a series talking about the names of God, the names that were given to Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, these names that describe that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, he's everywhere at once. And we can recognize these things. When I do this, it takes my eyes off of me and it puts my eyes on God. Right now, we're going to take some time to do that. We're going to take minute and a half and give you a chance, whether you're with people or you're there alone, to actually go, God, here are the things that I know about you that are amazing and that I praise you for. Let's do that right now. The second thing that I want to do when I'm coming to God in prayer is I want to confess any sin. Again, this takes humility of going, God, what you say is right and true, and submitting to God's will and going, God, I know that when I don't do these things, I'm sinning against you and I need you to forgive me. That time of confession is important because if I have sin in my life that I know about that hasn't been confessed, that I haven't asked to be forgiven, it can create a wall between me and God. It can create a barrier in our relationship. And so I always want to come before God asking for forgiveness, knowing that he's faithful and just to forgive me of all of my sins. We're going to take some time to do that right now. In the quietness of your own home and the quietness of your own heart, you can confess your sins to God. Let's do that. The third thing that I want to do when I'm coming before God is to make sure I have a heart of gratitude. Gratitude is probably the single greatest weapon that we have against self-focus. When we think about all the amazing things that God has done for us, when we think about Christ's sacrifice, it takes our eyes off of our problems and it says, God, I have so much to be thankful for, and you are the source of everything that I have, everything that I need, and I want to thank you for it. right now. We're going to do that. Again, maybe you're sitting around with family or friends. You guys could even talk about those things you're thankful for. Or if you're by yourself, you can just pray and let God know what you're thankful for. Let's do that right now. Once I've set my heart in the right place and now I'm ready to worship, there's a variety of ways that I can worship. Fact is, almost anything that we do with the right heart can be worship, but there are a half a dozen ways that I can think of that I want to talk about that maybe will help you in regards to your own personal worship. The first one is this: we can study and meditate on God's word. The primary text that we're going to be reading today out of the Bible is Psalm 119. You can turn there in your Bible. You can pull it up in your Bible app, but we're going to be looking at a couple of different sections there. The first section that I really love is this because it talks about the importance of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 97 says this: "Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments." Most scholars believe that David was the one writing this. It would be consistent with other things that he had written in the Psalms, talking about how much he loves God's word, loves God's instructions, loves God's commands. Do you love God's commands and his instructions? I used to really struggle with this until I grasped what David was talking about, how good God's commands are for our life. Listen, this is our owner's manual for life. This is God's way of telling us, if you'll live this way, your life will be blessed. It will be the very best way that you can live your life. And he's given this to us. We should have a desire to know it and learn it and to apply it to our life. And honestly, today we have more resources to study our Bible than we've ever had before. We've got a concordance. That's where you can go to the end of your Bible and look at a certain word, and it will give you all the verses that attach to it. You can do that online as well. There's commentaries, scholars who have looked at passages in the Bible and said, this is what this is saying. This is how we apply it to our life. We have maps for reference points when it's talking about different locations in the Bible. We have sermons. We have podcasts. We really have no excuse for why we wouldn't learn and understand God's word. Which brings me to the second way that we can individually worship, and that's memorize scripture. Psalm 119:11 says this: "I have hidden God's word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Man, it's great to read God's word, but what happens when you run into temptation? What happens when you're tempted to sin? We need God's word in our heart to actually help us combat that. And memorizing scripture is one of the ways we can do that. I know people who use a variety of different ways. The first way that I know people do is sometimes index cards. They'll write down a verse on a card. They can keep that in their back pocket. They can tape it to their mirror so that when they're getting it ready in the morning, they can review it. I personally like an app called the Bible Memory app. You can find that in your app store. It's free. With it, it actually has a multi-step process where you can import verses and then it helps train you to be able to memorize them. That's what works for me. One of the first verses that I actually used that app for was Psalm 119, verses 103 to 105. Because again, it talks about the importance of God's word. It says this: "How sweet your words taste to me. They're sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." We can memorize that. It doesn't take that long. And once we've got it hidden in our heart, we can do what we said was the first point. We can meditate on that. We can study that. That verse 105, "Your word is like a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." It's talking about spiritual darkness and spiritual light. All of us know that when we're in the dark, we can stumble around, we can get lost, we can get hurt. God's word is a spiritual lamp and light for us to make sure that we're safe, to make sure that we're heading in the direction that we should be going. It's so important for us. The third way that I want to talk about in regards to personal worship is journaling. actually writing down things that God is showing us, writing down things that are important. And there's a couple of ways that I think journaling is so important. One of them is this. As you're reading scripture, as you're going throughout your day, if God shows you something, if he reveals something to you that's special and important, write it down. I can't tell you how many times that I've been reading scripture and thought, oh man, that's an amazing point, and I can't remember it a day later. Journaling allows us to go back and reminds us of the amazing things that God wants to show us, reveal to us, and help us change our life. I also like journaling my prayer requests. Oftentimes, we don't get to see the answer to our prayers for some time, and it's easy to forget the prayer requests that we've had in the past. By writing those down, whether it's days or weeks or months later, we can go back and we can go, oh, look, God answered this prayer. I forgot that I had even prayed that, and look how he answered that. Journaling takes discipline, but it can be a great tool for personal worship. The fourth thing that I want to talk about is giving. We talk about this regularly at Real Life, but giving is a way that, again, that I come before God in humility and submission. I submit myself to God when he says, this is how you're supposed to give, and I'm obedient in that. It's a form of worship. It's saying, God, I trust you that everything that you says is good and right, and I want to obey you in that. The fifth way that I want to talk about personal worship is serving. Serving, if it's done with the right heart, if it's done in a way where we're trying to glorify God, is certainly worship. Listen to what Romans 12:1 has to say. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. The last way I want to talk about that we can personally worship is worship through music. I think a lot of people, when they hear the term worship, at least if they're Christians, they think about the singing time in church. And hear this, I love congregational worship through music. It's one of my favorite forms of worship. But I can also tell you this, just singing in church doesn't necessarily mean worship. There have been times where I've been singing the lyrics, but my thoughts are somewhere else, or I'm just not paying attention, or I've come into worship with the wrong heart. And even though other people around me are worshiping, I'm not. Because again, it starts with the heart. But when I'm singing a song or when I'm listening to music and I'm focused on the lyrics that talk about God's greatness and how good he is, and my heart wants to respond with gratitude and thanksgiving and to follow God, this is worship. Here's the amazing thing. As much as I love congregational worship through music, church isn't the only place that we can worship through music. We can do that at home. We don't have to have other people to sing around us. And maybe you're going, man, I don't have a good singing voice. You don't even have to be singing. We can listen to worship music. We can think about the lyrics. We can ponder those in our heart, meditate, and we can worship even by ourselves through that time of personal worship. Listen, we should be worshiping every day, all throughout the day, not just 75 minutes while we're at a church service, right? But I talk to people regularly and they're like, I just never remember to do that. I don't remember to worship or bring God into my life. And here's what I would say about that. Just like anything else that's important in our life, we have to schedule it. We have to build it into our schedule. And I wanted to talk about some ways that maybe will help you do that. The first thing that I want you to know is you have to actually have set times for worship. It hardly ever is just going to occur to us to worship. One of the ways that you might do that is a way that's important to me is through morning devotions. You don't have to do your devotions in the morning. You can do them at different times during the day. I just know me. I know for myself, if I don't start the day with thinking about God, what he wants for my life, I can get off track so quickly. In your devotions, it's important to remember that this is a relationship. It's not just us telling God what we want Him to hear from us. He actually wants to speak to us. He does that through His Word and through His Holy Spirit in our life and even through other believers. God wants to speak to you. The other thing I try to avoid is just giving God the list of all of the things I want. One of the things that I want to do is to go, God, today, help me to be mindful of where you're working. Help me to see where you're working and show me the opportunities that I have to join you today so that at the end of my day, I can actually think back at times where I got to minister. Which brings me to the second way that you might want to build personal worship into your schedule. A time of nightly reflection. Even if it's just 5 minutes before you go to bed, ask yourself some questions like, what was uniquely good about this day? What was a blessing from God? What brought joy in my life? Another thing that you might ask is, man, what were the trials? What were the challenges, the hard things that I actually need to ask God's help in? Or maybe it's, in what way did God reveal Himself to me? Did God make Himself known to me in some sort of special way? Man, if we can fall asleep thinking about those things, wouldn't that be amazing? But it doesn't have to be in the morning. It doesn't have to be in the evening. Honestly, anything that you do with regularity, if you set your mind to it, can be a time for worship. Maybe it's your commute. I know that right now, the commute that used to take 5 minutes takes about 15 minutes with the weather and the traffic. So if you're traveling to work or traveling to school, wherever you're going, there's a chance to actually have some time for personal reflection and worship. I know a time that was important for me in my commute was when my wife was a stay-at-home mom and we had little kids. Oftentimes, right before I got home, just a couple miles from my house, I would pull over into a grocery store and I would just pray, God, I need you to help have the heart and the mind that you want me to have walking in the door. I don't know what I'm walking into. Maybe my wife and kids had a phenomenally great day and I need to rejoice and celebrate them. Maybe I'm walking into World War III because the kids just weren't cooperating. I never knew, but I wanted my heart to be in the right place so that I could minister to my family and point them towards Jesus. Maybe for you, it has nothing to do with your commute. Maybe you when you're making coffee in the morning, or when you're walking by a certain place at work or school, or when you're flipping on a light switch, I don't think it matters what it is, as long as we go, whenever I do this thing, I'm going to stop. Even if it's just for 30 seconds. And I'm going to go, God, you're God, I'm not. I need you to help me with this. I want to develop a regular pattern in my life of worshiping you. In the same way that this clock reminds my wife of a special memory that happened 15 years ago, when we have that regular pattern of worship in our life, it causes us to focus on our relationship with God and to continue to grow to be more like Him. In less than a week, we'll be at the new year. The new year is a time where people think about patterns that they want to change in their life, new things that they want to introduce that'll make their life better. And here's what I can promise you. There is no greater emphasis you can have this coming year than growing in your relationship with God. This year, what's going to be the pattern that you add into your life? Maybe what you need to do is you actually need to start a relationship with God. You need to respond to His invitation to be in relationship with humility and submission, going, God, I realize that you're God, I'm not. I've made a mess of my life. I want to submit myself to you to walk in obedience to make you Lord of my life. Listen, worship draws us close to God by keeping our focus on Him. And as we draw near to God, it actually transforms our life and changes us. Here's the challenge that I would give to you this week. Pray about any new patterns, any new things that God would like to add into your life in regards to personal worship. Maybe it's a nightly reflection time, or maybe it's studying God's Word more, or journaling. I don't know what it is. But then I would tell you, respond by committing to doing that for 30 days and see what happens. Here's what I can guarantee. If it's something that God's calling you to do, it will be good and beneficial for your life. Let's pray. God, I just pray that as we roll into this new year, that you would help us. God, help us to know the patterns that you want to instill in our life, patterns that will draw us close to you, patterns that will help us worship you more, because you are an amazing good God. Lord, as we do that, may our relationships with you be even greater than they've been before, and that we would get a chance to let others know about that as well. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.